Hello, everyone. Welcome to Enabling Digital with Systems Plus podcast series. Today, I'm excited to welcome Bashir Abuela, CTO at Hospital for Special Surgery. He is a technology thought leader and a digital evangelist in the healthcare space. Bashir, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Sapan. It's a pleasure to be here and to share with you and your listeners my insights and also learn from you as we go along.
Oh, our pleasure. So let's kick it off. Can you tell me a little bit and our listeners a little bit about your background and your current role? And to be honest, I'm especially interested in your journey from Nigeria to where you are today.
Okay. So I grew up in Nigeria and began my education and my professional journey there. I studied computer science at the bachelor's and master's degree level there, began working there. And then I had the opportunity to emigrate to the United States when a local company here in New Jersey hired me, came in and began providing services for their clients in different sectors. And one of the sectors was in healthcare, and ended up doing systems administration for that company at a healthcare organization. And that heralded my way into healthcare. I've been in healthcare now, healthcare technology, over the last over 20 years. In my current role at the Hospital for Special Surgery, HSS, I have oversight. I'm a vice president and chief technology officer there. I have oversight of infrastructure and operations and also technology strategy, assisting the organization in developing technology strategy that aligns with its desired business outcomes, and also in implementing those technology strategy, working together with the larger IT team and the various operational business areas in the organization. Prior to coming to HSS, I worked for a number of years at another top-tier healthcare organization in the area, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. It's an academic medical institution focused on research and care in the areas of oncology. At HSS, on the other hand, where I'm at currently, we are focused on musculoskeletal care. We're the global leader in musculoskeletal care in orthopedics. We have patients come to us from all over the world, and we cater to our patients across New Jersey, locations in New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, and Florida. But we cater to a global patient population.
That's amazing. And both the institutions you mentioned are highly reputed and well-known across the globe. So I want to ask you, actually, what's sort of on all our minds these days, which is AI and ChatGPT with all the buzz. How do you see the impact of AI in healthcare, in the healthcare sector in general?
These are exciting times. If you speak with both clinicians and technologists, and you pose this question, you see there's a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz in the industry right now, just right. Thinking about the potential impact that artificial intelligence has, particularly when you think about tools like ChatGPT. There are opportunities in the areas of improving diagnostics, in personalized patient care or precision medicine, and also in improving the operational efficiencies of our care system. So if you just think about diagnostics, and this is one area that already there's a lot of work and development over the last several years. There are many, many companies out there today that have done work in computer visioning. You know, being able to use AI to analyze medical images, you know, x-rays and MRIs and CT scans. And that, if you think about the potential for that, of that to, assist us with access to care, you know, we don't have enough of the technology available, you know, in many parts of the world, even in underserved parts of the, Western world, we do not have as many radiologists or facilities to do those radiographical imaging processes. Now, with AI being able to analyze images and at in some cases better or at least as good as a trained radiologist, I mean that's just the potential to improve access for care in that space is great. Also, if you think about one thing that we have a lot of in healthcare is data. Every interaction, every touch point that a patient has generates data in some form or the other. AI, one of the capabilities of much of the AI technologies we're looking at is its ability to analyze vast amount of data. And with that, we're able to really personalize care. You know, you look at the data for patterns and determine also what would work best with each person. You know, the whole idea of precision medicine, treating the individual person based on their unique circumstances and situation and characteristics, as opposed to just generalized treatment, which is how medicine's been practiced for centuries. But now, with the opportunity to provide personalized patient care, and that's just going to help to reduce cost and improve the experience of care. And then also the other dimension, which I talked about, operational efficiencies. Much of the cost in healthcare today are due to perhaps inefficiencies in care delivery, and we can make patient care delivery better, faster, and get better outcome if we can improve, different processes that we have. So there's an opportunity there, and there are lots of efforts underway to explore how AI can help improve operational efficiencies, make the clinicians more efficient, reduce the burden that they feel as part of delivering care. And we can talk a little bit more as we continue the conversation.
Yeah, certainly. Actually, you talked about data, and in this area, the amount of data collected is huge. And to draw a parallel, we do a fair bit of work with retailers, and they talk mm-hmm. about customer experience. I presume that patient experience is equally important in your field. How do you envision, and I know you touched on it, but how do you envision the data that's being collected sort of create that hyper-personalization, really creating that next level of patient experience that we know that, especially in the retail space, for example, because you see that, right? And most people don't think of it in the hospital space, but and hence I'm trying to draw the parallel. How do you see that evolution of the patient experience based on the data that's being collected?
So, you know, the today's consumers, and we're all consumers in one form or the other, we come to healthcare with an expectation of certain service levels. You know, we're used to, many of us are used to being able to interact with retail or financial services firms in a way that we're able to get personalized services. They sort of seem to know when you shop on many of the big retail websites, they know what you want and they know what you've bought before. And when you buy something, they let you know when your order is going to get delivered. You know, so they really know how to use data. Even when you're shopping and you're missing something and you forgot to buy something, they would prompt you and say, "Hey, maybe you need to buy this as well." They'll upsell you. So in healthcare, there are opportunities to take advantage of data to improve healthcare in terms of one, just predictive medicine, being able to look at the pattern in the health records of a person, and to be able to predict their predisposition to particular diseases or health conditions that might be adverse to their well-being, and being able to say, "Hey, you know what? Right now, there's no problem, but from what we know from the analysis that we've done on this person's health record, they might be predisposed to coming down with diabetes a few years from now, or some other health conditions. And if they make this change and this lifestyle change and that lifestyle change, that condition can be avoided, and they can actually have a better quality of life. So this is helping us to shift attention and investment in care to the beginning of the healthcare delivery value chain, which is wellness. You know, by being able to cater more to wellness, we're able to keep more people healthier for longer, as opposed to waiting till people become sicker and more expensive to care for. So the opportunity to use data in that sense is great. The expectations are there. You know, people want access to their data. You know, one of the problems we have traditionally in healthcare is poor interoperability, but at least in the US and in many parts of the world, poor data interoperability. You know, often you go to a doctor and you provide a ton of data, they do a bunch of tests, and if you have to go somewhere else sometime later, you might end up having to repeat much of what you did previously.
Right.
Just because, you know, the data that was collected or generated at the other place isn't readily available at this new place. Those are problems that are being worked on, and AI and other technologies can assist in bridging those gaps. But I think there's a lot of opportunities ahead for us to improve patient care through taking advantage of new technologies and the volume of data that we have.
That is very exciting. So how do you then navigate the whole regulation that's so so entrenched in the healthcare sector, and how do you as a technologist sort of leverage technology in general to navigate the regulation?
You know, healthcare is a highly regulated industry, and rightly so. You know, this is, I mean, there's nothing like health, right? Health is probably the most important thing to all of us, because without health, we really don't have much else, right? You know, our health leads to many other things. It enables our security, it enables our well-being in many aspects of our lives. So health it does need to be regulated, but with regulation, unfortunately, comes lots of friction. And many times when we're trying to deploy technology to solve some of healthcare's problem, the regulations aren't keeping pace with advancements in technology. We saw an instance where regulations were relaxed in favor of technology enablement of care delivery over, you know, last 3 or 4 years with the pandemic.
Right.
You know, many regulators, many localities removed regulations that would have prevented virtual care or forms of virtual care. And that allowed us to quickly respond to the pandemic and continue to care for people. And fortunately for us, we're able to still carry forward. But some of those rules that were relaxed are sort of been on reversed in different areas. And of course, that's going to make things a little bit more challenging going forward. But the good thing is we've seen what we're able to do when regulations and policies, healthcare policies, aren't the impediment. And I'm not suggesting by any stretch that we don't need healthcare policies or regulation. We absolutely do. But the problem that we have is just that, unfortunately, the policies and regulations don't move in good cadence with advancements in care delivery, in technology. And right. We just need to somehow figure that out, so that we can move faster and better forward.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the pace technology moves at is not the pace regulation moves at. It's a very interesting observation, and absolutely correct. So you touched on virtual care, or telemedicine as it used to be known. You know, it's been around for a while, but the post-pandemic, it has taken on a new sense of purpose. So how are you able to support this change?
Well, for me, particularly in the infrastructure and operations side, when the pandemic hit back in the spring of 2020, one of the things we had to do was enable our organization to, and then this is, and you'd hear the same similar other CTOs would tell you pretty much the same thing. We had to enable the organization to shift how it did what it did, you know, and in our case, in the case of healthcare, a big part of that shift was enabling the move to telemedicine, telehealth, by ensuring that the infrastructure was there to support that. You know, some of the things that you wouldn't ordinarily worry about or think about, you know, internet bandwidth, security to support cloud services. And these are things we work on day in, day out, but now on a different scale, on a scale that many, many institutions had not contemplated before then. And at the same time that many of the clinicians were also providing those services from home, not even from the four walls of the from within the four walls of the hospital, but now they're also providing virtual service from home. So the patient is virtual, the clinician is virtual. There was a lot of that going on as well, and so enabling those were really exciting times for us, and we were successful in enabling that and proving out that virtual care, telemedicine can work. Now, beyond that, now there's a lot going on across the industry in particularly in the areas of what some would call the last mile of care delivery, which is really bringing care directly to the people that you're trying to care for. And there are many, many advancements, with the use of IoTs and Internet of Things and Internet of Medical Things, devices like wearables that people have in their homes, that they have on their persons, that can now be integrated into caring for them. Those are really just opening up lots of opportunities to improve access and to improve the quality of care.
No, that's pretty cool. So the another question sort of that I had was, I think we're all in the midst of this whole digital transformation journey, and most organizations are on that path. And of course, based on whatever I've read about your journey, you felt that wherever you've been, you always try to impose that, and everybody's on this digital transformation path. So what are some of the key initiatives that you are sort of focusing on in the near term to, well, have a significant impact for HSS?
Yeah, so with digital transformation, organizations have often focused on optimizing or digitizing their channels of service, the channel through which they provide service to their customers, and or digitizing the products that they provide as well, and often less so on operations within the organization, in terms of how people within the company do what they do. One easy way to think about this is, so let's say your digital business, you interact with your customers through digital channels, and everything to the outside world looks like it's all digitized and all that. But within your own organization, in terms of how people do what they do daily, day in, day out, you still have many paper-bound processes. You're missing out. You're losing opportunities for improvements there. And employees also come to work with certain expectations. They expect, for things to be digital. All our, we look around us everywhere we go, our shopping, our banking, and so many things are digital. And so the expectations, even within the companies, that there should be more of that. So one of the areas of focus for me and my team has been to make sure that we provide more of that digital experience, the digital employee experience, to make what everybody does even easier for them, to make their access to services easier and more efficient. So we have a project to implement a digital assistant, AI-enabled digital assistant within the company, We're also looking at using the same technology to as part of our patient engagement, but our initial focus that I'm more focused on in the immediate phase is on the employee side of the organization. So anything to make remove friction for the employees in terms of what they need to do really, yields dividend in terms of how well they're able to take care of our customers, our patients. And so that's one of the things I'm focused on. And then some of the classic areas of opportunities that we have in IT, like so IT service management it's even more important now that IT rebrands itself as a digital service provider to the organization. Because after all, we have internal clients, our fellow colleagues in the organization, they are our clients, and they have expectations of how they want to consume services. And those expectations are influenced by their digital experiences outside of the organization. And so we are focused on improving IT service delivery and repositioning IT as a service organization to the company.
So just touching on that a little bit and also piggybacking on something you spoke about earlier, the example you gave is that imagine I went one place for a test and then I go to another place and I got to, I go to another doctor and they make me take more of the same test even though I just taken them. So do you foresee some kind of a standard platform or something to that degree sort of taking shape over a period? Because I agree with you. I mean, it happens to all of us, right? And you go for even a second opinion or something like that, and all of a sudden you get this laundry list of tests again, and you're like, oh, you just took them. Why can't you just take it from there, et cetera? It just becomes very cumbersome to say the least. But then again, it goes hand in hand in terms of the whole service delivery mechanism and how IT and the whole digital world has to think about how you create that seamlessness. So I know in a perfect world the answer would be yes, but do you see the standardization, platformization of these things coming into the picture soon?
I think so, because just given how much work's already going on in that space from different angles. So you have some of the big EMR vendors, some of the big electronic medical records vendors like Epic and Cerner trying to tackle that problem, albeit from within their particular ecosystem. But you have them nonetheless trying to improve interoperability and the ability for participating institutions to share data. You have some of the technology companies providing tools on their platforms. I know Apple on their iOS devices do have a technology that allows you to share your records with institutions, your medical records with institutions right from your handheld smart device. So you've got that. And then there are regulatory regulatory frameworks being developed and some already extant that aim to ease that data sharing and interoperability. There are policies that have gone into effect that would hopefully in the next as we go forward assist with that. One of the recent rules that went in on what's called information blocking, which is a rule that dictates the requirement for healthcare providers to share data back with their patients, and the framework it provides guidelines for how they should do that, and penalties for institutions that fail to do that. So it's all coming together. It's been slow, it's been painful, but it's going to happen. And then when we think about some of the potentially enabling technologies that we have, like blockchain technologies, one of the areas that people have been exploring for a number of years now with about blockchains in healthcare is data sharing and interoperability. That's one of the, just given the decentralized and secure nature of blockchain platforms, it potentially could help address aspects of that problem. And then a number of projects out there that were tackling that. So it's all going to come together, and we're making progress towards that.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I can see how blockchain can be a huge enabler for this initiative. No, fantastic. I'm going to ask you one last question. It's a little bit of a broad question, but you know, and it's a two-part question, but definitely very interested in your opinion. So what do you think of the evolving role of tech leaders today is, and how should technology leaders sort of, think about how they partner with their counterparts, business, et cetera? And the second part of the question is, what advice would you have for someone who's a newbie coming into the technology space, wants to become a computer comp sci major or something to that extent? What advice would you give them?
Okay. So traditionally, you know, technology leaders were considered, as primarily responsible for managing IT systems and IT infrastructure, keeping the lights on, and you know, just providing the plumbings for the technology infrastructure of the organization. If anything, over the last several years, well, at least over the last few years, it's become increasingly clear, you know, as organizations become more and more digital, irrespective of the sector, it's become increasingly clear that technology leaders are not just plumbers in terms of maintaining the underpinnings of your technology infrastructure, but also that they are responsible really for identifying emerging technologies, you know, assessing the potential impact of those technologies on your business and your business model, and then implementing those technologies strategically to drive the business outcomes that the organization is looking for. You know, more and more businesses get enabled or disrupted with technology, irrespective of what sector you're in. Technology can be a huge enabler for your business, and it could also be a huge disruptor for your business. So that means technology leaders now have a more business-focused role to play in the success of the business. They're no longer just, you know, the geeks in the back of the room,
right,
ensuring that their computers and the data center or the cloud, you know, systems are up and running. No, they actually, an effective technology leader needs to have a good insight into what's happening on the business landscape in the sectors that they are in, as well as in the technology landscape, to understand, you know, what's the impact, the effect of emerging technologies on your business, and what technologies do you need to assist the business in doing what it's trying to do and what it needs to do to remain successful now and in the future. So it means, to be a successful tech leader, you need to, you know, be a successful business leader, understand business, understand technology, understand innovation. Innovation is a big part of being a successful tech leader these days, because
right,
there's so much change happening, either directly and indirectly through technology, that you have to not only know how to innovate, but also how to help cultivate the culture of innovation within your organization. And so tech leaders are innovators as well, and they have to be good communicators, able to foster cross-functional collaboration across the organization, and able to move quickly, you know, enable adoption of you know, agile practices within the organization. So being a tech leader today is not what it was, I would say, even 10 years ago. It's become increasingly more business focused, more agile, more and definitely more innovative in terms of how of outlook. In terms of advice to you know, professionals that are just beginning their journeys in this space, I would say this is exciting times. Honestly, I feel excited when I look at the developments that's happening, when I look at what's happening with generative AI and the potential that it has to create new business opportunities, to expand, you know, businesses, and really to change how we even do IT operations. It's huge. So I would say to anyone, you know, any young technologists, new technologists coming into the industry, this is exciting times, but you got to be ready and willing to keep learning. To keep learning, accelerated learning is important. You have to be able to learn fast and broadly. Learn fast, go deep, and then broad. Go deep and broad. What do I mean by that? It means that, you know, when just as we're talking about AI now, you got to understand what does this mean for my area? What does this mean for what my business does? And then you go deep in learning more. Get go beyond the shallow understanding of what we're talking about. You know, have a good understanding enough to be able to advise your business and help your business with that understanding. And then go broad in the sense that you also want to see what else is happening, you know, in the landscape. You don't want to be so narrowly focused on one thing that you miss what's happening elsewhere, broadly speaking. So it's exciting times to be in technology. When I talk to young folks, I say, hey, if you're thinking about what to do and you're not sure of a career choice, give technology a look. It's a good place to be in for a long time to come. So I hope that's helpful.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's some fantastic advice. And well, I definitely echo it for sure. I think we're living in some very, very exciting times. And as you rightly said, technology has become a huge enabler. And today, technologists are seen as partners as opposed to those geeks in the back or the people who are just managing the plumbing. So definitely, we are seeing more and more of the business lean into technologists. And as we forge ahead, we're looking at very, very great and bright future from a technology point of view. So thank you, Bashir. Really appreciate your time. And it's been fantastic talking with you.
Thanks, Stefan. I enjoyed our conversation.
Fantastic. And that's a wrap.